Welcome to the Dream Life University podcast show, the show that helps you transition from a life you live to a life you love by giving you practical strategies and tools to help you succeed. And now, here's your host, Rhonda Williams.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Dream Life University podcast show. This is episode number 3, and this is about flexing your social media savvy. I'm Rhonda Williams, your Dream Life coach and your host for the show, where we help you transition from a life you live to a life you love. Today's show is sponsored by Spoiled Naturally, so if you have a chance, check them out at spoilednaturally.com for beautiful and naturally moisturized skin. Today, I am so excited to welcome our guest, Wendy McLellan, to the show. Wendy is a lifelong entrepreneur, and she incorporated her first business when she was 19 years old. Just amazing. Wendy was nominated for Canadian Entrepreneur of the Year and is a certified guerrilla marketing coach. She's also the author of 27 Steps to Freedom, What Learning to Walk Again Taught Me About Success in Life and Business. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here and chat with you, Rhonda.
I am super excited to have you on today because one of my favorite things to do is to browse social media and Facebook, and I came across some of your postings and your work, and I was just very excited to reach out and see if we could connect. And one of the reasons I'm so excited about that is because as I talk to, you know, busy professionals and leaders and entrepreneurs, many of them say they struggle with social media, and I can personally attest to this also. So I am excited to have you here so that you can share some of your success tips with us. And so why don't we begin by having you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in helping people with social media?
Absolutely. Well, I actually got online over 20 years ago now, in 1995. I was a newly single mom raising 3 kids on my own, and I didn't want to leave my children for full long days in daycare and that kind of thing. So I started a small typing business, which actually evolved into my own daily radio show and then an internet business that became quite successful. And I was able to travel and speak to people all over North America about using the internet for business. And over the last 20 years, as I've seen the changes happen, I've taken on different portions of internet teaching and training and coaching people. And today I focus mostly on social media, firstly helping people really identify what their brand is and what their message is and how they want to have that come across online, and then helping them develop the strategies and the tools to get their awareness out there.
You know, that is amazing. And so let me just ask you, Wendy, when you were sort of pioneering this whole thing, when the internet, we were really just getting familiar with it and we weren't using it in the way that we are today. Did you see this coming? Did you see the direction where things were going?
You know, that's a really good question. I think one of the things about the internet is we never know what's coming next. But one of the things that I did in the early days, which I think has really served me well, is I got involved in online communities. And these were the what was happening prior to things like Facebook and what we now know as social media. So these would be groups of people, entrepreneurs, businesswomen from anywhere in the world, and we would meet in chat rooms and have conversations. And so we were building those online relationships before most people realized that you could do that online. And so that was one of the tools that I used, and as I saw things like Facebook and Twitter come along, I was able to continue to build on those relationships and expand on them.
Wow, that's just amazing. And so as you have grown more in the social media space and you've really become an expert in this area, what are some of the common mistakes that you see people make with social media?
I think they try to be all things to all people. And they try to be on every single platform. And unless you are a multi-million-dollar company with a team of social media managers, that is just impossible to do well. And so one of the things that I work on with clients is, what is your message? What are you really trying to say to people with everything that you post? And then we move on to where are those people that you're trying to reach? Who is your ideal client? And before I start working with someone on social media, we have probably a half a day conversation on who is your ideal client. And we go pretty deep. It's not just male, female, and their age and that kind of thing. We talk about food preferences. Do they have children? What kind of vehicle do they drive? Are they a person who's interested in the environment? What social causes mean something to them? Because all of those pieces of their personal puzzle help us really clearly identify who you're trying to reach, and then I can advise you on what social media platform is the best one for you.
Well, that's pretty amazing, because I find that many people don't go that deep. They just are not certain, at least not to that extent, who their real target audience is. I think most people understand the basics, you know, age and gender and that kind of thing. But to the level of detail that you described, I could certainly see how that would be helpful in really identifying that true market that you're searching for. And so as you do some of this work, have you found that that one social media platform is better than the other?
What I do with the first step is that identifying your ideal client. And then what we can do is very clearly identify where they are on social media, because every single social media platform has a different kind of user. As an example, we know that Facebook actually started out as an online kind of, if you want to call it a hookup or a dating service for kids in college and university. And so if you were trying to reach that market, Facebook would have been ideal. Today, the biggest users of Facebook are women 24 to 35, but the over 60 market is growing at about 80% over the last 3 years. So if you're trying to reach the senior citizen market or women 25 to 35 or 40, Facebook is still a very powerful place for you to be. Now, if you're trying to reach young, urban, hip types of people, you're more likely to go to Twitter. So you really want to understand what kind of people use each platform so you can figure out where your actual people are going to be and then focus on that platform. I get clients to help. I help them figure out which is the very best platform, and we develop a really strong strategy for one social media platform. I don't believe you need to be on every platform. What I do tell people is, yes, reserve your name on Pinterest and Twitter and Snapchat and all those kinds of things, because we never know what's going to happen and how the users of those platforms will evolve over time, like we saw on Facebook. So down the road, yes, you may switch from Facebook to LinkedIn or to Twitter or Instagram. But right now, if Facebook's where your clients are, stick with that. Do it really well. But down the road, you've got your name reserved on those other new platforms, and you may, you know, then the shift is easy for you.
Wow, that is great advice. And I can certainly, I know for myself, that feeling of wanting to be, you know, everything to everyone and just feeling pulled in all of those different directions is one thing that, you know, is a constant struggle. But of course, the next thing that's a struggle is once you are on a platform and you feel pretty comfortable with that, what the heck do you post?
Well, what I tell people is you don't have to write everything yourself that you're going to post on social media. So there's two types of content, one that you create and one that you curate. And by curate, I mean there's so much great information out there already on every single topic under the sun that you can actually use what other people have written. I'm not talking about plagiarizing, but I'm talking about finding, let's say you are a hairstylist and you want to attract your local market, and Facebook is the platform that you've decided is the best one for you. So what I would encourage someone who's a hairstylist to do is go out and look what are the trends for color in the spring of 2016. How about new haircuts, new hair products, cute cuts for kids? And you can find great articles like that and simply post those on your Facebook page with a little commentary like, are you looking for a great spring cut? Here's the season's newest trend. And then you link to that. And that way you're always giving your potential clients and consumers great content, but you didn't have to write it all yourself.
Wow, that's great advice. And is that one of the strategies for helping people not be overwhelmed? And I'm sure you have some other strategies you would offer also.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I encourage people to do is spend about 30 minutes every couple of weeks finding that curated content. So set aside time on your calendar to go looking for that great content. And then use a tool. You can use the Facebook scheduling tool because it allows you to pre-schedule your posts on Facebook, or use a tool like Buffer or Hootsuite. And you can plug in all of this information in advance, and then your posts will go out when you don't, you know, you're not even online, so that you can have regular content going out every single day, and you don't actually have to be engaged all of the time. Now, there's a little caveat to that is, you don't want to put all pre-scheduled posts out because then you're not really engaged in real time. So what I encourage people to do is on their Facebook business page, for example, is post something in the morning and, you know, you can pre-schedule that and then something in the evening, but pop in during the day sometimes. So let's say myself as an entrepreneur, I'm often going to networking meetings. So I may have a pre-scheduled morning post on Facebook, but then if I'm at a networking luncheon, I may post a picture of maybe one of the display tables there with a little bit of information about it, or a short video of the speaker. And so I'm checking in through the day with live updates, and that gives people a chance to really get to know you better. And so, when you're posting, make sure you've got a combination of created content, curated content, pre-scheduled posts, and live posts.
Wow. That sounds wonderful. And, you know, for a person like myself, it's really helpful to begin to understand some of the ways to better manage my time and to better manage social media. And one of the struggles that I have is things change so rapidly. I feel like I almost can't keep up. So can you tell us, are there some new trends in social media, and if there's something specific that's really hot right now?
What's really hot right now is live streaming. So some of your listeners may have heard of Periscope or Meerkat, and now Facebook also allows for live streaming. So basically, your phone becomes a broadcast studio in your hand. So as an example, for Periscope, you can actually just hold the phone in front of your face and start broadcasting, and everyone that follows you will be seeing you live, and they can interact with you. Another one that's an online live broadcasting tool is called Blab, and I really like Blab because it's on a bigger screen, obviously, because it's on your computer instead of your phone, and it allows you to have up to four people in a live meeting room having a conversation, but everyone else can engage in that conversation by posting their questions in live time. And on the other side of the screen, it allows you to tweet out any great content that's coming out of that conversation. So it's about doing things in real time. Now, Periscope, as an example, is one of those tools that a lot of people in the entertainment industry aren't very happy about, because what it means is you can go to a movie or to a concert and you can actually live stream it.
Oh my God.
Without having, yes. And so you could go to a U2 concert and actually live stream it. But one of the cool things about it is I do a lot of public speaking. And so when I go to an event, if I wanted to, I could actually put my phone in front of me on the podium and actually live stream my talk out to everyone who follows me, as well as the audience that's listening to me in the room.
Wow.
So live streaming is definitely sort of a trend that we're seeing a lot of pickup on right now.
And it's interesting because I've heard of some of those, but the way that you're describing using them is incredibly powerful, you know, to be able to live stream to your followers as well as the audience that's in front of you. That's what I mean by, you know, it's moving so fast. We need people like you to help us stay in front of it so that we're not constantly behind the eight ball. What do you see in terms of what's out there in the future of social media?
I think it's going to be more about really engaging with your audience and allowing them to get to know the real you. Let's say 3 years ago, people who, like myself, had a personal brand, but we also would choose a business brand. We're seeing more of the personalized branding now, where you have people who are just using their name as their brand. And I think we're going to see more of that. People want to do business with real people, not a brand. And I think as people start to turn away from the corporate world, we're going to see more people using their own name as their branding. So if people are, you know, thinking about what am I going to call my business, you know, consider using your own name if you are someone who does coaching or speaking, because it's easier for people to identify with you as a person than as a brand. And that the live streaming is one of the tools that really allows that to happen. There's a number of people online who will do like a Monday morning motivation live Periscope. And there's a fellow I follow on Twitter, and he's called the Muslim Marine. And he does a live Periscope every evening talking about faith and religion and politics. Really interesting guy. And he does it live on Periscope, and he's building this brand. So it's really that connection with the real person versus just putting out branded stuff.
Well, so along those lines, what advice would you give for someone who has difficulty really opening up and being that transparent to their audience?
That's, you know what, that's a really good question. I actually did, I have a private Facebook group called Social Media with Heart, and it's kind of focused on doing business from a really authentic place. And I did a webinar when we started the group talking to people about how do you set your boundaries when you are a private person. And I suggest every person has their own level of comfort with sharing personal details. As an example, I have four amazing, the best grandsons in the world. And one of the things I don't do is post pictures of them, their faces, on social media. I keep them, if I'm going to take a picture of them, it's from the back or the side. I keep them very private because I want to maintain their privacy. For people who are really, are really private and don't want to share anything, share a picture of your dog. If you take your dog out for a walk every day, I sadly had to put my dog down last year. She was 14 years old, but she was a big part of my branding. Her name was Courage, and people loved my little morning walk videos I would post of her, pictures of her. She'd sometimes hold signs for me when I was doing a webinar to promote the webinar. So you don't have to share your own personal, you know, the real personal details of your life, but you can share parts of your life that people will identify with. If you're into gardening and you're planting your spring flowers, you can share that. So figure out what you're open to sharing with the public and just say, this is my boundary. People aren't going to know if I'm married or single or where I actually live or, you know, my personal life with my family. But I will let them know about my hobbies or about my travel. And so maybe even make a list of what you feel comfortable sharing. And then it becomes pretty easy to follow.
Wow, that is really, really great advice. I wanted to ask you about the book, and I mentioned earlier in our opening that you are the author of 27 Steps to Freedom and What Learning to Walk Again Taught Me About Success in Business and Life. And it was such a powerful title. It really caught my attention. And so I thought, would you be willing to just share a little bit of an overview with the audience, what it's about, and then tell us where we can find it?
Sure. Well, after I got divorced, I started this business that became quite successful. And then in late 1999, I started to feel quite unwell and kept going to the doctor, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And I got so sick that I ended up giving up custody of my children to my ex-husband and his new wife. And nobody could figure out what was wrong. I was losing 2 or 3 pounds a day. I had bleeding sores in my throat. I had fevers of 103. Something was really wrong. So one night I phoned a friend and I said, can you take me to the hospital because I feel like I can hardly walk? And she took me in, and the doctor went to take my blood pressure, and he couldn't get a blood pressure reading because I'd been hemorrhaging for 6 weeks. And they did massive blood transfusions the first night, and it turned out I had contracted somewhere an E. coli infection, which is a very common bacteria. But what it had done in my body is it had gone into my spine, and it ate away a good portion of the lower 3 vertebrae, 2 discs, 1 kidney, and gave me brain damage. So I spent 63 days in hospital and then another 4 months in a plaster cast from just below my arms, my underarms to my knees to fuse the bone fragments back around the spinal cord. And it took about a year and a half to learn how to walk again. So the 27 steps were, when I came out of the hospital, I went and lived with my mom and dad. They've got a hospital bed and everything for me, and I needed to learn how to walk again. So my goal was to get to the end of their driveway. They had this nice flat driveway. And I would try each day, and it took about 3 weeks to be able to do it in one go. And the day that I did it, I thought, oh, I'm on my way. I feel free. And I started, when I started walking back, for some reason, I counted the steps, and it was 27 steps to their front door. And I was sharing a bit of my story through the years, and someone said, you need to write a book. You need to write about this. So in 2014, I wrote the book, and each of the 27 steps I refer to in the book is a lesson that I learned along the way. So things like, for me, a big one was forgiveness, because I had pushed my body so hard that I had not taken care of myself, and I think that's a trait many of us have. And so I had to forgive myself. And then another one was gratitude. So I have a practice of every evening when I go to bed, I find five things that I'm grateful for that day. And then the final lesson in the book is sharing what you've learned. So I encourage people, whatever lessons you've gotten in your life, to pass those on to others. So that's kind of the book in a nutshell.
Wow. Thank you so much. And where can we find the book?
You can find it on Amazon. They just go in 27 Steps to Freedom, and it's there, and it's downloadable, and it's also in print.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Okay, so Wendy, at the end of every show, I ask each guest to share with our audience the three things that you'd like them to take away from your conversation today. So what are those three takeaways for you?
Okay, so the first one would be learn the right social media platform for your business. So what I suggest you do is figure out who your ideal client is and go pretty deep, as I mentioned. And then you can simply Google demographics of social media, and then you'll find a bunch of studies that will tell you the types of people that use each platform, and that will help you choose the right one. And then the second one is finding that engaging content to post. And I want to share two little tips with your listeners that they may not know. And these are Facebook-oriented tips, because most people will find that Facebook is probably one of the best places for them. There's two little tips you can use to get more engagement on your Facebook business page. Now, what Facebook has done is they've gone to what we call a pay-to-play model. So they really want you to buy Facebook ads. And even if you had, say, 1,000 followers on your business page, you'd be lucky if 30 or 40 people see your posts. But there's two things that you can do to get much more engagement. The first one is post video. Now, this can be video that you have created, but it can also be video of people who are leaders in your field. So myself as an example, I'm an entrepreneur, so I follow people like Tony Robbins or Gary Vaynerchuk. So they post a lot of short videos, 3 to 5 minutes. So I can share one of those videos, and what I'll do is I'll put a comment above the video. Here's a great video by Gary Vaynerchuk about whatever the topic is. Now, when you write your comment, use the word video, because for some reason right now, Facebook's algorithm really likes that word, and when they see it, they tend to share the content with more people. The second thing is, in that comment, is you want to tag the person who's created the video. So you put the little at symbol and then the person's name, and what happens is your post will also show up in that person's timeline. And so all of their followers will see it too. And I've actually had the example where I put a video out by somebody else. I think it was a Gary Vaynerchuk video. It was actually seen by more people than I had followers. So what that means is that my followers saw it, but their friends saw it as well. So that's a really good tip for using the keyword video in your description and using other people's video to get more engagement.
Yeah, great tip. And your third takeaway?
The third one is how you can stay more organized without feeling overwhelmed. So I've mentioned pre-scheduling a couple of posts each day and then logging in to do a live post sometime during the day. But what I encourage people to do is when they go onto any social media platform is set a timer. So as an example, I will go into Facebook in the morning. I'll set my timer for 15 minutes. And I will check out my private Facebook group that I have to see what's going on there and post something. I post something every single day that people can offer feedback on. And then I will check out the other groups I'm part of, because I always find great engagement in the Facebook groups. And then I'll check my notifications and probably post something. And then I get out once the timer goes off. Because if you leave Facebook open or Twitter or any of those, every time a notification pops up, you're going to get distracted from your task that you're working on, and you're going to go back and look, and you're not going to be very productive. So set a timer, go on in the morning for say 15 minutes, check in once a day for a couple of minutes, and then in the evening go back in for another 10 or 15 minutes to kind of comment on what people have shared and respond to any comments that you've got on your post. So that way you're not spending your entire day connected to social media and not doing anything else.
Wow, those are great tips. Well, and just to share a little tip that I figured out and just sort of stumbled across this for myself, is I open up social media in an entirely different browser and window. And so I'm not constantly seeing it when I do my normal work. I'm in one browser. And so I have to literally think about it and want to go there in order to see it. So that's another thing that I do for myself personally to try to manage my social media work.
That is a great, great idea. Very good. I think I'm going to do that.
So Wendy, thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your social media brilliance with us. I'm super excited about some of the tips that you've shared, and I think our audience will really find it very valuable. And thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, my pleasure. I always love sharing social media with people and look forward to connecting with your listeners as well.
Absolutely. And to the rest of our audience, thank you so much for tuning into today's show. Be sure to stay tuned for our next episode. And until then, I hope this has helped you take one more step towards living your most amazing life.
Thanks for tuning in. We encourage you to consider today's takeaways and apply one or more to your life to help you build the amazing life you want to live. And remember to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and share with your friends by visiting the podcast archives at www.thedreamlifecoach.com.